RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headlines, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Government asks Philippines to guard Indonesian barges in regional waters. East Kalimantan Governor Awan Faru affirmed TNI police to settle hostage incident. Now the news in detail. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that Indonesian government has asked Philippine authorities to help ensure the safety of Indonesian vessels in the Philippines waters. He told that there should be security personnel for all Indonesian barges that cross Indonesian territory into the Philippines, including during unloading and on journey back to Indonesia. The request was made on the heels of a recent kidnapping of 7 Indonesian sailors in the waters of Sulu, the southern Philippines, that there's such incident is shared by 2 different groups of pirates that the government has yet to identify. Previously, following the spate of kidnappings of Indonesian sailors by Abu Sayyaf militant group in the southern Philippines, Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan asked the Philippine ambassador to ensure the security of Indonesian vessels in waters between the 2 countries, especially for the economic reasons. East Kalimantan Governor Awan Farud Ishad expressed his optimism on Friday that Indonesian military TNI and police Polri will be able to peacefully settle the latest hostage-taking incident. 7 Indonesian citizens from Samarinda, East Kalimantan had been taken hostage by the Abu Sayyaf separatist militant group in the Philippines while sailing in the Filipino waters. They are crew members of the TB Charles belonging to PTPP Rosianto Bersaudara. One of the crew members, Ismail, had been ordered by the hostage to inform his family about the kidnapping on June 22. He said that the success of TNI and Polri in settling 2 similar incidents should have provided invaluable lesson in settling the current hostage situation. Governor Awan Farud underlined the importance of intelligence in dealing with the case, in addition to information from community members living along the border. The finance minister has decided to pay close attention to the government bonds, or SAN, for the next few days to anticipate any effects of the British referendum or Brexit and how it will affect the Indonesian economy. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said at his office in Jakarta on Friday that his ministry is just monitoring the movement since Brexit is temporary. He believes that the impact of Brexit will not last for a long time, so that preparing the Bond Stabilization Framework, BSP, is unnecessary. He also explained that the government would conduct an intervention when the finance sector is negatively affected in the long run. Fortunately, Minister Bambang added the finance minister on June 7, 2016 issued €3 billion worth of euro bonds before Brexit was initiated. The government issued another €8.36 billion worth of euro bonds on week later. University of Indonesia international law expert Hikmahanto Juwana said that the state-owned enterprises minister's plan to make Pertamina a holding company for state-owned energy firms is in line with international standard practices and thus necessitates no new rules or revision to existing laws. He stated the establishing a holding company for state-owned enterprises in energy sector is a common restructuring process to upscale corporate performance, aiming for stronger financial capacity and better efficiency. Indonesia has recently created holding companies for state-owned enterprises in the cement and fertilizers businesses. Ikmahanto added that amid chronic chaos in the management of oil and gas, the establishment of Pertamina as a holding company is needed to ensure integrated energy management. He argued it is the government and the public who enjoy the benefit in the form of bigger dividends and lower fuel prices. Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara has become a bustling ecotourism center thanks to foreign investors who hold an estimated 80% of the tourism business in the city. Bambang Susanto, an expert staff member from the Office of the Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister, said that many foreign investors in Labuan Bajo care more about environmental issues in the city than local entities. He remarked in Jakarta on Tuesday that an interesting fact is that foreign investors are more concerned about the environment than the local government, which tends to grant building permits recklessly. The government has prevented building permit issuance in Komodo National Park to preserve the exclusive habitat of the Komodo dragon, the largest Lysa species on Earth. Currently, the government is surveying and listing potential spots for future tourism development around Labuan Bajo. Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Yudi Krisnandi has banned civil servants from using official cars to travel to their home cities during Idul Fitri exodus. He said that civil servants are neither allowed to use official cars nor allowed to accept hampers. The policies apply to all echelons. He added that civil servants had been much improved welfare and therefore they should refrain from accepting any gift related to their duty and position. He also said that civil servants should not apply to extend their leave for an additional week following the week-long Idul Fitri exodus so as to ensure that smooth service continues to be provided to the public, warning that his ministry would impose a strict sanction on those who breach the instructions. Sanctions range from verbal warrant to demotion and criminal charges depending on the severity of the violation. The last item, Medan City Government continues to want to make it into a city of waste-free city. Vice Mayor of Medan, Akhyar Nasution, said that one of the main programs that Medan Municipal Government creates is to have the city of Medan be clean and free of debris. That also supported by various other development programs. He stated that as one of the major cities in Indonesia, Medan is able to become a role model for maintaining cleanliness. To realize the waste-free city, of course, the support of the entire community is vitally important, for example, by keeping the environment clean and disposing of waste according to schedule that has been determined by the municipal government. Medan City Administration itself has to implement a scheduled time for transporting waste, which is 4 past 30 p.m. until 8 p.m. to transport the garbage in the street of the protocol. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please
Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. Various significant events that occurred this week are summarized in this edition of press review. Let's begin with Tempo newspaper, which in its editorial on Wednesday, June the 22nd, writes, "Need assertiveness in the Natuna Sea." There should be no compromise on the sovereignty of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. Therefore, the Navy firmness in the face of China's warships in the Exclusive Economic Zone, or ZE, in Natuna Sea is laudable. This indicates to the public that the Navy presents at the sea and is always alert. The incident between Indonesian and Chinese warships happened on Friday last week when the Navy ship caught Chinese fishing ship, stealing fish and took them to the port. China's warship approaching the task force and asked the Indonesian Navy ship to free the Chinese fishing vessels. Not less than two Chinese warships tried to free the vessel, but the effort failed. Four Indonesian warships managed to escort the fishing boat. According to Tempo, that was a correct step taken by the government to strengthen its military presence in these waters. Not because these waters are rich in marine products, gas, and minerals, but because it is Indonesian territory that must be guarded. Assertion is needed, despite the peace effort that should be put forward. At sea, we are great, as their slogan says, Jales Veva Jaya Mahe. Turning to the Media Indonesia, which in its editorial on Tuesday, June the 21st, writes to synergize the KPK and BPK. The Supreme Audit Agency, BPK, and the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, should be the main pillars in combating corruption. The two institutions should build synergy to work together to eradicate corruption, which is increasingly rampant, and not pit against each other. Efforts to pit BPK against KPK continues to be done, especially by those who like to play politics and pro-corruption, but claim to be defenders of the Supreme Audit Agency. There are also groups who openly defended the Corruption Eradication Commission in the case of Sumber Waras audit. The Supreme Audit Agency said there is an element of state losses in the case. However, the commission remains firmly stated there was no element of corruption in the cases involving Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama alias Ahok. According to Media Indonesia, the two agencies, BPK and KPK, must respect the duties and functions of each, mainly related to the eradication of corruption. The difference between the BPK and KPK associated with the Sumber Waras audit must not trigger disharmony, especially weaken the combat against corruption. Both the BPK and KPK have their own respective duties and functions in accordance with the legislation. The meeting between leaders of the two institutions on Monday should be appreciated as an effort to bridge differences. They should acknowledge differences associated with the case, but the difference must not dismiss each other's stance. It means they do not open themselves to be competed. The paper also relieved because BPK and KPK promised to work together and synergize to carry out their basic tasks in the prevention and eradication of criminal acts of corruption. The key word is mutual respect on duties and functions of each other. Let's end this press review with Republika newspaper. In its editorial on Thursday, June the 24th, the paper writes, "Waiting for Tito's move." Police Commissioner General Muhammad Tito Karnavian, in a matter of time, will receive the position of the Indonesian Police Chief from General Badrodin Haiti. On Thursday, June the 23rd, the House Commission 3 agreed to approve the nomination of Tito as Police Chief to replace retiring Badrodin Haiti. The approval of the House of Representatives Commission 3 will be brought to the plenary session, which will be held on Monday, June the 27th. From the plenary session, the House leadership would immediately send the decision to President Joko Widodo to immediately inaugurate Tito Karnavian as National Police Chief. When undergoing the fit and proper test before the Commission 3, Tito voiced a number of priority programs for the police institution when he elected as chief of police. One of them, Tito wants to realize public services easier and combat scalpers. Congratulations, General Tito. Hopefully, your promises are not empty delusion that only decorate the pages and broadcast media coverage alone. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm Hermana Rahmana in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start an event on June 25th, 1938 when Indonesian Language Congress was held. Indonesian Language Congress is the fifth annual regular meeting held by government and practitioners of Indonesian culture and literature to discuss the Indonesian and its development. For the first time, it was held in Solo, Central Java on June 25, 1938. The Congress was held to commemorate the Day of Youth Pledge in 1928. Then this event is not only to commemorate the Youth Pledge, but also to discuss the development of Indonesian culture and literature as a whole. The next event was in 1950 when war on the Korean Peninsula between North and South began. The current war began when North Korea invaded South Korea. The United Nations, along with the United States as the principal force, came to assist South Korea. China, with assistance from the Soviet Union, came to assist North Korea. The war arose from the division of Korea at the end of World War II and from the global tension of the Cold War that developed immediately afterwards. Korea was ruled by Japan from 1910 until the closing days of World War II. In August 1945, the Soviet Union declared war on Japan as a result of an agreement with the United States and liberated Korea north of the 38th parallel. U.S. forces subsequently moved into the south. By 1948, as a product of the Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States, Korea was split into two separate governments. Both governments claimed to be the legitimate government of Korea, and neither side accepted the border as permanent. The civil war escalated into open warfare when North Korea forces, supported by the Soviet Union and China, moved to the south to unite the country on 25th June 1950. On the day, the United Nations Security Council recognized this North Korean as an act invasion and called for immediate ceasefire. And the last event was in 1975 when Mozambique gained its independence. Mozambique was former Portuguese authority. Mozambique people demanded full independence from Portuguese, so that rebellions appeared in 1964, which was called Fremilho, or Mozambique Liberation Front. Finally, after chaos happened in the Portuguese government, Mozambique officially gained its independence on the 25th of June 1975 with the first president Samora Machel, who was a Fremilho figure. Listener, that was Today in History over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today, it's on British help increase Indonesian air traffic controllers' capacity. The Institute of Air Navigation Services Operator, or AirNav Indonesia, and consulting services provider of air transport services from the United Kingdom National Air Traffic Services, or NATS, cooperate in capacity building of human resources. 20 Jakarta air traffic controllers are now undergoing training in England. AirNav Indonesian President Director Bambang Cahyono said some air traffic controllers experience a change in work culture after undergoing training. According to Bambang, they become more efficient in controlling air traffic. He explained that the British National Air Traffic Services recognize the quality of Indonesian air traffic controllers, who are no less competitive with those from other countries. National Air Traffic Services, or NATS, with AirNav Indonesia and PT Angkasa Pura II on June 3, 2015, has cooperated to help increase the capacity of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport from 72 to 86 flights per hour without the need for additional runways. These efforts focus on improving the service procedures, the development of infrastructures, equipment, and facilities, as well as improving the competence of human resources. Meanwhile, the British ambassador to Indonesia, Muazzam Malik, who visited Jakarta Air Traffic Service recently, explains one of the important values in the culture of work is the cooperation between the air traffic control and all stakeholders at the airport, including the pilot and the people who manage the airport infrastructure and terminals in the region in regulating air traffic. Meanwhile, to accelerate the movement of aircraft at the airport, the head of consultancy NETS, Steve Hathaway, said he and all the elements of airports, including PT Angkasa Pura II and Airnav Indonesia, will be working together to ensure that air traffic can be guided and controlled efficiently from service centers to the existing section in the field. Hathaway said the deal with Airnav Indonesia and Angkasa Pura II is the first time in an institution which brings together airport operators and air traffic services together to increase the capacity of the airport. Meanwhile, Director of Operation and Engineering of PT Angkasa Pura II, Joko Muriatmojo, said coordination of all parties is the key factor in increasing the capacity air traffic, so airplanes do not take a long taxiing time. Well, that was focused today on British helps increase Indonesian air traffic controllers' capacity. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Hear news in brief, read by Rahmana. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that Indonesian government has asked the Philippine authorities to help ensure the safety of Indonesian vessels in the Philippines waters. Is Kalimantan Governor Awan Farud Isad expressed his optimism on Friday that Indonesia military TNI and police Polri will be able to peacefully settle the latest hostage-taking incident. 7 Indonesian citizens from Samarinda, East Kalimantan have been taken hostage by Abu Sayyaf Separatist Militant Group in the Philippines while sailing in the Filipino waters. The finance minister has decided to pay close attention to the government bond for the next few days to anticipate any effects of the British referendum, Brexit, and how it will affect the Indonesian economy. University of Indonesia international law expert Hitma Hanto Juwana said that the state-owned enterprises ministry plan to make Pertamina a holding company for state-owned energy firms is in line with international standard practices and thus necessitates no new rules or revision to existing laws. Labuan Bajo Nis, Nusa Tenggara has become a bustling eco-tourism center thanks to foreign investors who hold an estimated 80% of the tourism business in the city. Bambang Susanto, an expert staff member from the Office of the Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister, said that many foreign investors in Labuan Bajo care more about environmental issues in the city than local entities. Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Yudi Krisnandi has banned civil servants from using official cars to travel to their home cities during Idul Fitri exodus. Medan City government continues to work to make it into a city of waste-free city. Vice Mayor of Medan, Akyar Nasution, said that one of the main programs that Medan Municipal Government creates is to have the city of Medan be clean and free of debris. That also supported by various other development programs. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Riau to know sahur tradition. Stay tuned. Listener, when all Muslims throughout the world are fasting in Ramadan, many ways are held by people to wake sahur. Sahur is an Islamic term referring to the meal consumed early in the morning by Muslims before fasting, some before dawn during or outside the Islamic month or of Ramadan. Tradition to wake people to eat sahur is commonly held by many people in various regions. One of them is in Riau, precisely on Palas Island, Tembi Lahan, Hulu Sub District, Indragiri Hilir Regency, Riau. In this region, to wake sahur tradition is known Sahur Bridal Parade. Listener, sahur bride is an activity to parade a bride. The bride here is like a real bride, but in sahur bridal parade, it becomes the bride all men. One of them will be made up like bride. These brides will be made up and wear clothes like a real bride. There are three pairs of brides. The brides will be paraded by using cart to go around the hamlet. The interesting thing in that parading the sahur bride is by bringing speaker for music and also lights. They also sing Islamic songs. Listener, sahur bridal parade will wake up people starting from 1 to 30 a.m. until 3 a.m. local time or until sahur time comes. People who are waking up will participate in the parade. Sahur Bride has been begun since 10 years ago. The event will be held during Ramadan in order not to disrupt the activities of citizens. On weekdays, the parade is only held on Saturday and Sunday. Listener, Sahur Bride is positive activity for young men in Riau to fill the time during Ramadan. Not only that, at mid-Ramadan, usually sahur bride will be compete in various categories of judging such as makeup, customs, and cohesiveness of the bride. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is a daily word service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and traditions, technology and environment, and even lifestyle. Today edition will be discussing Baladeva digital comic. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, the rapid development of digital world has given a lot of positive values for the people of Indonesia and the world. It also triggers the nation to prove if the competitiveness of Indonesia could not be underestimated. One of them is digital literature comics, Baladeva. Listeners, Putu Gede Ari Wicahyana and his team at Tantras Comics Bali was the first to emerge literary comics in which the comics consists of history and culture. Therefore, in 2013, an English language comic was launched by taking the title Baladeva, The Chronicle of Calon Arang. An epic tale tells about Medang Kingdom and ancient Mataram. With a unique storyline and an interesting visual touches, this comic managed to penetrate the international market. Baladeva is the first digital comic of Indonesian literature that penetrates the world in two languages, namely Indonesian and English. Chosen English, according to Ari, is to show the world that Indonesia's young generation capability can penetrate international market. He hoped that through comics, it could attract public attention and reinterested in exploring the history. Therefore, the character of the figures until the whole scene in Baladeva was made seem to be real with beautiful color. Listeners, the distribution of Baladeva with similar animated picture has been sold well in European markets up to the third volume, with the price 300,000 rupiah per book. Realizing this condition, Ari and friends of Tantras Comics Bali changed the form of comic book Baladeva. This year, from the 4th until 5th volume, they are ready to be distributed. Tantras is trying to educate through e-book or digital book in Indonesian and English. The price is 30,000 rupiah per volume and can be downloaded for reading anywhere. In this e-book, Baladeva is not alone. Tantras took some literature writers from Bali, such as Chok Sawitri, through her newest novel. To colleges in Bali, Ganesha Education University and Indonesian Denpasar Art Institute are willing to join and make the cultural literary works of their students in form of digital books. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. We meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet. meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hey, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 95 to 5 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Tulus. He was born in Bukit Tinggi, Padang, West Sumatra on 20 August 1987. A singer who has a real name Muhammad Tulus Rushidi has begun his career since 2011. His first album entitled Tulus succeeded to skyrocket his name. Listener, let's listen to a song entitled Jangan Cintai Aku Apa Adanya from Tulus and enjoy the song.
Tak sulit mendapatkanmu, karena sejak lama kau pun mengincarku. Tak perlu lama-lama, tak perlu banyak tenaga, ini terasa mudah. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan tuntutlah sesuatu, biar kita jalan ke depan, yeah. Kau terima semua kurangku, kau tak pernah marah bila ku salah. Kau selalu memuji apapun hasil tanganku yang tidak jarang payah. Jangan cintai aku apa adanya, jangan tuntutlah sesuatu, biar kita jalan.
Listener, you have just listened to the song entitled Jangan Cintai Aku Apa Adanya, sung by Tulus. The song was taken from his album with the title Gajah. This album was released on 19 February 2014. through this song, Tulus talks not to be discouraged when facing a difficult time. He still focuses on life and proves through success and achievement. Like Tulus does, he is able to make a bad story of his childhood as a trigger for a better future. Listener, let's listen to a song entitled Teman Hidup sung by Tulus. Enjoy the song.
Dia indah, peretas gundah. Dia yang selama ini ku nanti. Pembawa sejuk, pemanja rasa. Dia yang selalu ada untukku. Di dekatnya aku lebih tenang. Bersamanya jalan lebih terang. Tetaplah bersamaku, jadi teman hidupku. Berdua kita hadapi dunia. Kau milikku, milikmu. Kita satukan tujuh. Bersama arungi derasnya waktu. Kau milikku, ku milikmu. Kau milikku, ku milikmu. Bersamanya jalan lebih terang. Tetaplah bersamaku, jadi teman hidupku. Berdua kita hadapi dunia. Kau milikku, milikmu. Kita satukan tujuh. Bersama arungi derasnya waktu. Di depan nanti banyak cobaan untuk kisah cinta kita. Jangan cepat menyerah. Kau punya aku, ku punya kamu. Selamanya akan begitu. Jadi teman hidupku. Berdua kita hadapi dunia. Kau milikku, milikmu. Kita satukan tujuh. Bersama arungi derasnya waktu.
Listener, that was the song entitled Teman Hidup, sung by Tulus. This song tells about love and loyalty as husband and wife. Wife's dedication is described by helping her husband when her husband wants to go to work. She helps to use all attributes on her husband's dress and delivers him by sincere smile. Listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to two songs from Tulus entitled Gajah and Sepatu. I am Andika from VOI Studio in Jakarta. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Setidaknya punya 70 tahun. Tak bisa melompat ke akhir benang. Bahagia melihat kawan betina berkumpul bersama sampai ajal. Besar dan berani berperang sendiri. Yang aku hindari
hanya semu kecil. Otak ini cerdas, ku rakit perangkat. Wajahmu tak akan pernah ku lupa. Waktu kecil dulu mereka menertawakan, mereka panggilku gajah. Jabat tanganku panggil aku gajah. Kau temanku, kau doakan aku. Punya otak cerdas, aku harus tangguh. Bila jatuh, gajah lain membantu. Tubuhmu di situasi inilah jadi tameng. Tak tahu apa-apa wajah bila terlalu cepat marah. Kecil kita tak tahu apa-apa yang terburuk kelak bisa jadi yang terbaik. Yang terburuk kelak bisa jadi yang terbaik. Gajah lain membantu tubuhmu di situasi rela jadi
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Kita adalah sepasang sepatu, selalu bersama. Tak bisa bersatu kita, mati bagai tak berjiwa, bergerak karena kaki manusia. Aku sang sepatu kanan, kamu sang sepatu kiri. Ku senang bila diajak berlari kencang, tapi aku takut kamu kelelahan. Ku tak masalah terkena jam, tapi aku takut kamu kedinginan. Kita sangat ingin bersama, tapi tak bisa apa-apa. Terasa langka bila kita berdua, terasa sedih dirak berbeda. Dirakatmu kotak bagai nirmana, tapi saling sentuh pun kita tak berdaya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the 4th floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Tak perlu kau ajak aku bicara, tak akan pernah ku mendengarnya. Ini aku yang dulu bahkan tak dapat sebelah dengar dari telingamu. Tak perlu bersolek berwangi bunga, tak akan membululukan hatiku. Ini aku yang dulu bahkan tak dapat sebelah mata dari pandanganmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.